Turn back to Matthew 27. Here we begin to see now the sacrifice. Passover lamb is going to be crucified. Sacrifice for us. We are going to see this week and next week, Lord willing, next Sunday, our salvation. Our salvation. Now, if I were to ask you, and I know you'd give the right answer, but if you were to ask anybody else to appoint in human history, the most depraved act of man, where would you think they would point? Some would point to the Holocaust. They would point to different points in history where the depravity of man is most seen. And you and I know that the greatest act of human depravity is when men cleared their throat and spit in the face of God. They just cleared their throat, spit in His face, and nailed Him to a tree. That to me is probably the greatest proof and act of the human race. I know that the world believes that men and women are basically good, but that's not what God says. And God sees the heart. God sees the heart. God said, "There's none good, no, not one." It says He looked down from heaven to see if there was any good. If there was any that sought Him, looked for Him, sought after Him, He said there was none. The imagination, He said, of men's heart is evil, and that continually. There's never a break. Never a break. Now, what we're going to see here, as I said, is our salvation. But we're also going to see human depravity. You know, we believe in total depravity. We believe the Scripture teaches that man is totally depraved. He's totally dead, spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in him whatsoever. The life of God's not in him. He's in darkness, and we will see that here. In verse 26, if you remember from last week, Pilate said, "Who do you want? Jesus or Barabbas?" They said, "Give us Barabbas." Then He released them unto them Barabbas. And when He had scourged Jesus, He whipped Him. Then He delivered Him to be crucified. There's one thing we need to keep in mind here. The Lord Jesus Christ was scourged under Roman law. Under the Jewish law, when anyone was scourged, it was 39 stripes, save one. It was 40 stripes, but they would save one just in case they miscounted and they didn't want to break the law. So it was 39 stripes, save one. Roman law was whenever they just got tired, basically. It's when they wanted to stop. That was Roman law. They whipped him till they wore themselves out. They took a whip, and they had pieces of like bone and say in glass and stuff tied to the end of it, and they whipped him. They lacerated his back. They just ripped the flesh off his back. Sometimes I was reading this, and sometimes I think we almost forget the reality of this. I was watching a show here some time ago, and it was showing Jerusalem over there. And in my mind, when I was watching this, I was thinking, the Lord walked those streets one day. Now, I'm not talking, that's not the holy city. That's not holy ground. I'm telling you the truth. That's the place where they hated him the most and they killed him. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, is the church. It's the church from all the ages. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the true Israel of God is everyone that believes the gospel from the first one to the last one. We are the true Israel. But I thought about this when I was watching that program. I thought of the Lord walking those streets. God of heaven and earth walked those streets and preached the gospel to them. Let's not let the reality of this sometimes slip away from us. Our Lord's back was lacerated. From his neck down to his waist, they just wide open. But in doing that, they fulfilled the scriptures. Listen to this scripture over here in Isaiah 53. I have it marked. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, with those stripes on his back, every lash was for me. Every lash was for my sins. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed and cured. You know, when you're healed, you're cured. We are healed. Well, here in verse 27, we're going to see what human nature really like. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall or the governor's house and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, all the soldiers in the area were called on to come to this, listen now, this feast. That's what it was to them. It was a feast. You know, Solomon said, mischief to the wicked is as sport. This was sport to them. And they call all the soldiers into the area to this feast. It's like a pack of dogs coming to take part in the killing of its prey. You've seen that. You've seen it on these nature programs, how a wolf or a pack of dogs will attack an animal, and they just tear into it. They just eat it while it's alive. While it's alive. Our Lord said this in Psalm 22:16, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've encircled. They pierced my hands and my feet. They've surrounded me. And they're closing in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Christ is surrounded by his enemies. You know, mob mentality is nothing more than human nature on display. That's what mob mentality is. It's just human nature on display. Men hate God without any influence from Satan. You know that if Satan ceased to exist, we would still kill God. We'd still hate him. We don't need a devil to be what we are. We are what we are by nature. Satan tempts and he tries, but I'm telling you, human race is evil by nature. It is. If Jesus Christ came into this world right now, you know how he'd be treated? Just like he was treated there. They'd hang him again. They would hang him again. All you got to do is just take this Bible and preach the Christ of this Bible, the sovereign Christ of this Bible, and you watch people get mad. I've never had a drunk get mad at me. I've never had a drunk get mad at me for telling him the gospel. I've never had one. But I have had religious people get so mad they want to take my head off for telling them the truth about Jesus Christ, for sending him forth as he's revealed in the scriptures. Here in verse 28, the mockery begins. And they stripped him. They stripped him down naked. And they put on him a scarlet robe. Boy, the contempt and the hatred, the animosity, the enmity of the natural mind, the Lord is allowing us to see it. He's letting us see it right here. They tried to strip him of all honor. I want you to know that our Lord felt the shame of nakedness. He felt that. You know, Adam and Eve, when God first created them, they were naked, and it didn't shame them until they fell into sin. And after that, they were ashamed of it. And our Lord knows something about that shame. He felt the shame of it. And they tried to strip him of his dignity. The scripture says he despised the shame over there in Hebrews chapter 12. And they did their best to humiliate him. And they stripped him, then they put on him a scarlet robe. You know what they're doing here? They're mocking him. They're making mockery of him. They're mocking him as a king. They mock him as a king. When they put that robe on him, they're saying to him, "Oh, you are a king. You're supposed to wear a scarlet robe. Let's make him look like a king." And here he stands, quiet. He's quiet. And they make this robe, this they get this scarlet robe, they put it on that lacerated back. You know how painful that had to be? His back is laid wide open. And then that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough just to put a robe on him. Here's what they do. They're going to make a crown. A king has to have a crown, doesn't he? Can't be a king without a crown. So they plait a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. And then a king has to have a reed. He has to have a scepter. A king, you know, you can't be a king if you don't look like one. They're going to make him in mockery look like a king, not realizing he is the king. Here stands the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here stands the God of heaven and earth, letting his creation do this to him. A king's got to have a crown, so they make one of thorns, which is. They don't realize it, but they're symbolizing the curse. God cursed the ground. He said it'll bring forth thorns and, you know, briars and thistles, and it'll. They're making this crown out of thorns, which is a symbol of the curse. Our head, and they put it on his head. Our head is bearing the curse. Our curse. The curse that's against us, the curse that's against a multitude of sinners no man can number. He's bearing the curse. He took what belonged to us and put it right on his head. They put it on his head. And then they took a scepter. They took a reed and pretended like it's a scepter, and they put it in his hand. Oh, now he looks like a king. This is the one who said he's a king. And they're making all this fun of him. Pilate, listen, I know Pilate commanded him to be crucified, but man's showing his free will right here. And this is exactly what he'd do. Same thing Adam did. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. We want to be God by nature. We naturally want to be God. Why do most people want to get in business? Why do they really? Why, if you want to get to the root of it, so you don't have to work for somebody else. You don't have to be under somebody else's thumb. I mean, that's the reason why people want to win the lottery. What's the first thing you want to do? Quit their job. The first thing you want to do is quit their job. They don't have to be under someone else's thumb, someone else's authority, someone else telling them what to do. Men, by nature, hate authority. They hate authority. Don't tell me what to do. And then, you know, a king has subjects, so what they do, they bow the knee. They give him a crown, they give him a purple robe, they put a reed in his hand and make it like it's a scepter, then they bow the knee to him. Boy, do they not know what they're doing. Every knee's going to bow to him. They're doing it out of mockery right now, but I tell you what, when it's over with, it ain't going to be out of mockery. It's going to be either willfully or forced, but it's going to be bowed. Then he's going to bow. Here we have mock submission. You know what? It's still that way today. It's still that way today. People make like they are submitted to him when in fact they're not. Because all you got to do is tell the truth and they're mad about it. If we submit to God's will, if we're really submitted to the King of Glory, we are submitted to his will, then we're not upset and mad at him when things go wrong. Because it's his will. It's his will. And thy will be done on earth in my house as it is in heaven. And then notice how their hatred just grows with each insult. They make this mockery and then they say, "Hail, King of the Jews, King of an enslaved people." That's what they're saying. See, these Romans, they hate the Jews, and the Jews hate them. You know, they hated each other. They were just enemies until it came to putting Christ to death. But they mock him as King of the Jews, and what they're saying is, "You're King of an enslaved people." And then they spit on him. Took the reed and smote him on the head. They spit on him. This is the face that the angels adore. Let all the angels of God worship him. This is the face that the Father loves. This is the face where the glory of God is seen in no place else. Over there in 2 Corinthians 4:6. And this is the face, though, that man hated. They hated him. But I tell you this, this is the last face everyone's going to see. This is the last face everybody's going to see. And it says there, they spit in his face. What's the worst way you can show contempt to somebody? It's to spit on them. Spit on them. The human race represented right here spit in the face of God. And then they took the reed and they smote him on the head. In other words, they drove that crown of thorns down on his head. They set it. And you know why they did that? To show their power over him. You say you're a king? You are a king? And they took that reed and they drove that crown down on his head. To demonstrate their power over him. That he has no power. Is what they're saying. You have no power. You have no power at all. They took it out of his hand. And hit him with it. And all this mockery. All this mockery. Was allowed. First of all. To show the total ruin of man. This is what we think of God. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And it's also what you and I deserve. Because he's taken exactly what we deserve. And after they had mocked him, after they got their belly full at this feast, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away. To crucify him. Led him away. Didn't drive him. He was never forced at any time. He just willingly walked down that road. Walked to that place to be crucified. And when they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear his cross. He was so beaten. They compelled this man to help him bear the cross. But here is an example. Here is something we don't want to just pass over. In Matthew 16, 24, our Lord said this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Every believer has a cross to bear. Whatever he calls us to go through, whatever it is, for Christ's sake, we bear it willingly. We suffer. We suffer in this life willingly for Christ's sake. Paul speaks of his sufferings filling up the sufferings of Christ. We too must suffer. If he suffered, we suffer. We are not above our Lord. The servant is not above his master. As it says in Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. There is a reproach that comes with following Christ. The true gospel, I'm telling you the truth, the true gospel is not popular. You know, Paul speaks of the offense of the gospel, that it's offensive. A gospel that doesn't offend anybody is not the gospel of God. It's not his gospel. You know, the gospel offends our thoughts of ourselves, our thoughts of God. It offends the way we think God saves. It offends the way we think of ourselves. As we're not that bad. Someone said this, all who shall reign with Christ hereafter will suffer for Christ's sake here. But there's something else we also see here. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Isaac carrying the wood. He said, Father, here's the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. But here's a good picture of Isaac carrying the wood as he's carrying that cross up to Calvary. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, it must have looked like a skull. No doubt many had been put to death there. Many had been put to death there. But this is one time when death is going to receive its death blow. A stake is going to be driven into the head of death when our Lord is crucified on top of that hill. And when they had gotten him up to Golgotha, and they had nailed him to that cross, they drove that spike into his hands and his feet. And there's no way I can even attempt to explain the pain and the suffering, the physical pain that went along with it. Not to even scratch the surface of the soul suffering that he suffered in our place. But after they did that, they dropped that cross in the ground with him hanging on it. And they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he tasted thereof, he would not drink. It was customary to have a cup of spiced wine for those to drink when they were put to death. You know, Solomon said this in Proverbs 31, give strong drink to him that's ready to perish. And they would do that. But you notice here that with this cup that they was given to Christ, it was mingled with vinegar and gall. It was made to taste bitter. It was made to be bitter, to be sour. And this shows something here. This shows us a few things. First of all, the bitterness of sin. Sin is a bitter thing. And it was very bitter to our Lord. When he bore our sins in his body on the tree, it was a very bitter thing. And then it signified the wrath of God. That cup which his Father put into his hand to drink was a very bitter cup to drink. It was a very bitter cup. And it says he tasted it. He tasted it. Listen, our Lord tasted the full bitterness of the cup of God's wrath. He tasted the full bitterness of it. Not one ounce of mercy. Listen now. Not one ounce of mercy was showed to Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. Not by the people and not by God. He suffered the full blow of God's wrath. Someone said this, he drank damnation dry. He drank damnation dry. Adam tasted the bitterness of disobedience when he took of that fruit, and now Christ must taste the results of it in order for him to save us, which is the wrath of God. But it says here, he tasted it. He tasted it. But he would not drink it. He would not. Why? Did he not drink it because it was bitter? That's not why he didn't drink it. He did not drink it because he would not take anything that lessened the pain. He would not drink anything that lessened the pain of suffering for our sins. He felt the full measure of pain, suffering for our sins. He took the full measure of God's wrath. And that is exactly why we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He spared himself of nothing. Nothing. In verse 35, and they crucified him. They crucified him. I think it was Rex Humbard said one time, I believe it was him. He said one time, if I were there, I would have stopped him. No, you'd have been right there with those soldiers, spitting in his face. I thank God nobody stopped it. Nobody could stop it. We will see later on, maybe next week, they said, he saved others. He can't save himself. In verse 42, look in verse 42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. That's exactly right. In order for him to save me, he cannot save himself. He can't do it. The cup cannot pass from him. He's got to die. He's got to taste death, my death, the death that I would have tasted. And that's not just dying, going out here, being put in the grave. That's dealing with God Almighty and the wrath of God. I'm glad he's crucified. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm glad because by his crucifixion, by his death, many have been made righteous. Many have been made righteous. Saved. That's why he said when he was carrying that cross, there were some women there weeping. He said, turn. He stopped and said, don't weep for me. Don't you cry for me. Don't you feel sorry. Listen, don't you feel sorry for me. I'm doing this willingly. I want to do this. I love the ones I'm doing it for. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves, he said, and for your children. I'm not the one you need to be crying for. I'm going to rise again. This is just for a moment. It's for a moment. They crucified him. They parted his garments. And let me tell you something. When they nailed him to that cross, he didn't look like that picture they got. That picture they've drawn of. It's not him. You wouldn't hang that picture on your wall if you had a real picture of what he looked like hanging on that cross. You wouldn't hang it on your wall. It was a gory, bloody mess. And over in Isaiah it says, his visage, his appearance was so marred more than any man. He was unrecognizable. He was beaten so bad, he was unrecognizable. You wouldn't hang there. And he wasn't, and listen, he wasn't hanging there with a loincloth on. He's hanging there naked. That's how he's hanging there. They stripped him naked. Why would they do that? Because God's law lays everyone bare sooner or later. We have got to be laid bare before God's law. All covering is taken away. It's all taken away. Our stripping happened at Calvary. And then they fulfilled the scriptures. They didn't realize that. They're standing there casting a lot, gambling. You know, casting dice. Let's see who's going to get this garment. They cast lots for my garments. They didn't realize in doing that, they're fulfilling the scriptures. All right, what's the message here? And I'll close. First of all, we see human depravity. Man was given the opportunity to bow and worship the God of heaven and earth, and instead he mocked him, spit on him, then crucified him. And secondly, we see the substitute dying in the stead of the sinner. Wounded for me, dying for me. We see what we would have suffered. Christ, he was wounded for us, shamed for us, mocked for us, despised for us, condemned for us, stripped for us, humiliated for us, crucified for us, and died for us. And now we are free. Whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up here next week. And we will see our substitute, our salvation, hanging on Calvary's tree. And we'll get a glimpse. Listen, just a glimpse of God dealing with him. God dealing with him. Men dealt with him. Now God's going to deal with him.